Cape Talk. Inspiration Wednesdays.
It's all about coding today. We're going to introduce you to two organizations who are offering people young and old the opportunity to learn to code. Whether you want to simply create your own website, whether you're looking to build a fun game or start a tech-based business, take a career in coding, you've got to start somewhere. And both of my guests today want to make it as easy and accessible as possible. First up is an organization called CodeSpace. And if you visit their website, you'll be greeted with the words of the late Apple CEO Steve Jobs. I think everybody in this country should learn how to program a computer because it teaches you how to think. We're constantly being told that computer-based skills are the crucial elements of the skill set of tomorrow, that we need to future-proof our kids by exposing these to them. But what if you're an adult who also wants to learn how to code? That is where CodeSpace comes in to help. Whether you want to do a part-time course that you can juggle with another job and with other responsibilities, or whether you want to immerse yourself in full-time coding academy. On the line with me is Tegan Krause, who's program lead at CodeSpace. It's great to have you with us again, Tegan. Good afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Pippa. Hi.
It's a great pleasure. For those who are literally in the dark about what coding is, let's start with the very basic explanation of what we're talking about, Tegan.
All right. We are talking very basically about web development, so creating web pages, creating programs and software, so on.
Okay. And what are the benefits of learning to code, Tegan? Even for those who might not be wanting to pursue a career in that field, what do you learn from learning to code?
Learning to code teaches you a way of thinking, of problem solving, of thinking with algorithms. And obviously in an environment or in an industry where technology is used all the time and technology is evolving, being able to understand how that technology has been created or how it can be changed is obviously beneficial to anybody working in that space. There are also a lot of job opportunities as a web developer or working with web developers in the industry at the moment.
Okay. Can you give us some examples? I mean, I think for those who are not familiar with this space and just don't know what they don't know, they might not realize just how broad the scope is for career opportunities in this space. Can you give us a couple of examples of the kinds of jobs that you're talking about?
Sure. A lot of the companies that we deal with are front-end based, so that's creating web pages and websites that people are interacting with on the front end, and then some of them are back end where they're creating databases and working with data in various forms.
Okay. Now, importantly to today's conversation, at CodeSpace, you are providing opportunities to learn these skills. And even although we often hear about people trying to teach coding to youngsters still at school, there are not that many opportunities for adults to learn who are already working in other fields and might want to acquire these skills either to change direction or as an add-on to what they're already doing. Tell us how CodeSpace is filling that gap.
Yes, this is true. There are a number of online offerings, but we have instructor-led classes in the evenings. We have classes for beginners, people who have absolutely no experience with coding, as well as intermediate and advanced classes that we'll be rolling out next year.
Okay. Now, Tegan, I know I'm one of those people who doesn't really understand it at any depth, but I know that there is more than one language of coding in which computers can be coded. Which particular language or languages do you work with?
Well, at a beginner level, it would be HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, and jQuery. And from there, as I said, we'll be rolling out further languages next year, languages like Laravel and PHP and Python. The list does go on.
Okay. And as a general rule, what sort of people are coming on these evening courses? Are there people who are already working in tech industries who want to just perhaps take a different direction within the company they're with? Or are there people who are looking for a complete change of path?
It really is both. Mm-hmm. We have people who aren't working in the tech industry at all, and we have people who are working in the tech industry, and they want to open up their opportunities and understand the people. They might be designers, and they want to understand developers that they work with, or they might want to open opportunities and look for something else within their organization or within the industry.
Okay. Now, those evening courses you spoke about, Tegan, how frequently do you run them, and how does it actually work? How many evenings, how often a week, and how long do you need to commit to?
Each course is, at the moment, 4 weeks long, happening twice a week, so that's 8 classes in total, and they do run monthly.
Okay, so if anybody listening would like to find out how to sign up for one of those classes, how do they reach you?
They can either go to our website, which is codespace.co.za, and go to our part-time courses and then fill in one of the forms there, or they are welcome to call us. Should I give our number?
Yes, please do.
That's 021-685-0991. Or they can email me at learn, L-E-A-R-N, at codespace.co.za.
Okay, and I know you are based in Woodstock. Is that where the classes are all run from?
That's correct. Okay. The Old Castle Brewery in Woodstock.
One last question, Tegan. How important is it to have a computer or a desktop or a laptop of some sort to practice on at home? Is it an essential requirement?
It is. So people who attend our classes need to bring their own laptops. We could hire one to them at an additional fee.
Okay, and that information too you can get via the website codespace.co.za. Thank you so much to Tegan Krauss, who's their program lead. So I know they're in the middle of a current course as we speak, but there will be another one coming up shortly before the end of the year. So please, if you're interested as an adult in acquiring coding skills, even if you know absolutely nothing at this point, please do go and check out their website codespace.co.za.
Pippa Hudson on Cape Talk.
So that's the adults. But what about the children? If you're lucky, you might have your kids enrolled at a school which offers coding as an extramural, as a club activity. If you're very lucky, they might have opportunities to study coding as part of their school curriculum, whether they're in primary school or high school level. But we know that that is not necessarily a reality for all children all over Cape Town. And that's why I'm delighted to bring in our next guest, who is from an NPO called Kids Who Code, which is all about bringing coding alive for children in a way that is fun and inspiring and challenging, so that they are learning skills that really are needed for later in life without realizing that they're actually working. It's all about making it fun and really unlocking the potential of the possible digital developers and game designers of tomorrow. It's a great pleasure to welcome on the line Tulani Matiani of Kids Who Code. Tulani, thanks so much for being with us today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me, too.
It's a great pleasure. Before we talk about your NPO, tell us a little about your own journey, Tulani. How did you get involved in the coding space?
Well, in 2006, when I was in grade 11, I got involved into, we started a typing school, so we teach people how to touch type. And that grew a little bit to an extent where I ended up fixing people's computers, so I became more fascinated with computers and stuff. So later on in life, I got a pathway right after grade 12, mm-hmm. and with which I decided to study IT, which was hardware and networking. And the whole purpose of that is because while I was running the typing school, I wanted to fix my own computers.
Yep.
I had no intentions of doing IT, but when I started IT for the purpose of fixing my own computers, I ended up falling in love with it. But the pathway was, it was a very good amount of money, but it was not enough to also cover our computer science, coding, programming, however you call it. Mm. So I then taught myself how to code in the process while I was at work. You know, at my spare time, I would spend some time looking up for some stuff, teaching myself how to code.
Sure.
And I really think that was the one thing that gave me the confidence that I can teach other people for the very first that I could teach myself. And with that thought still fresh in mind, I bumped into a guy by the name of Jacques Blom at a entrepreneur conference for young people. Mm-hmm. I approached his father. We ended up meeting up together, and we co-founded Kids Who Code. He was 15 at the time, so we together started Kids Who Code, and that's how it all started. It started by that typing school and getting that bursary from the NEBO Foundation, working for them after the bursary as an in-house technician. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up resigning and starting Kids Who Code.
It's an amazing story. I love the way you just say blithely, I taught myself to code in my spare time. Tulani, most people wouldn't know where to start, let alone just finding it out and getting along with it all on your own, which is an amazing story. Now, you've obviously taken that passion and now poured it into the experience of trying to share that talent and that passion for coding with other children. What is your core goal, your mission at Kids Who Code? What do you hope to achieve?
So in this field, there is a great shortage of people who can code and want to code. And even the people who go to tertiary education to learn how to code, they ended up giving up on it. And with that great shortage and realizing the direction that the world is heading towards, I thought this can't just be left alone. Somebody got to do something about it. And thinking that somebody got to do something about it, I decided I'm going to go ahead and do it, and I'm going to make sure that we feel, especially South Africa, the whole purpose is to make sure that there are a lot of programmers, because everything in our days is going digital. Everything is about technology. I mean, you can imagine any industry that you are in, at the end of the day, you're going to have to bump and come across with coding. So having passion about kids, you know, and some of the community programs that I've been involved in my community, we're outreaching to kids and stuff. So I thought, if I'm going to teach somebody to anything to people, let me go ahead and teach it to kids, you know, that the next generation, I talk to my friends about it, they don't see it interesting, you know, their mind is already made up in other things. So I thought, let's just inspire kids instead of older people. Let's just introduce this to them early on, so that by the time they are older, they are well-equipped and ready to play big in the real world.
Tulani, where are you finding these kids? Are they? Are you offering classes at schools, or are they coming to you at a community center? And talk to us a little bit about the children that you're teaching.
So, well, we run courses, and we started off at the Bandwidth Barn. You know, we would do that as holiday programs. And then we also had a couple of years ago courses at the Cape Town Science Center. And we also had a course at the ICDL at Kenilworth. But right now we're working on getting our own space, you know, because all those institutions or organizations, we partner with them. We are in the process of getting our own space. But right now, the one thing that is really moving forward, I mean, like, that is happening and giving us more opportunity to expand the opportunity for people to learn how to code is homeschooling. We are mostly doing homeschooling right now, where we would actually go into a child's house if they have their own computer, just go to their house and teach them at their home. And the homeschooling option is far better than when they come to us, because, say, in that house, you're going to teach one child or two kids, and then it's one-on-one, and you make better impact, you connect with that child. So we mostly do homeschooling right now, and as soon as we get our own space secured, we will definitely do that. But homeschooling is the one that is moving forward right now, and are trying to work hard and get in a space in Google Edge.
Okay. I'm so glad you mentioned Googs, because my next question was going to be, it's all well and good to say I can go into a house where there is a computer and work with a child whose parents can afford a computer. It would be great if these skills could be rolled out even to kids who don't have that luxury. I know you have got an option for somebody to sponsor a child on your program. That's one of the ways people can help subsidize getting this teaching into all communities. How else are you able to reach children in underprivileged areas?
The underprivileged area, like I was mentioning, that we're trying to secure a good space that is fully equipped with computers and internet in Google Earth, which I spotted as a perfect place, and it's central for kids around my area, because this is where I came from. And as soon as that is done, we will put it out there. But as to the option where someone can sponsor a child, if, let's say, you want to sponsor a certain child, meanwhile, that we don't have our own space secured in the township where we want to do it here in Kukuletu, you can sponsor the child by maybe covering their tuition fees, and we would actually bring a laptop to that child's house, and we would go and teach that child, or maybe those group of kids. So if you have kids, let's say I want to sponsor five kids, then I would make sure that I arrange five computers for whenever I go to that specific house for those group of kids to teach them.
Fantastic. What sort of tuition fees are we talking about, Tulani? How much would it cost to sponsor one child?
Well, it's just a normal tuition fee of 200 rand.
Is that all?
And That's it. It's just a tuition fee of 200 rand.
I'm really hoping there are listeners who are going, goodness, I might spend that on coffee in an average week or two. We would rather send it your way. Before we run out of time, Tulani, please tell those listeners how they get hold of you at Kids Who Code so that they can make those connections.
Okay, well, they can check us on kidswhocode.co.za, that's kidswhocode.co.za, or check our Facebook page, Kids Who Code on Facebook, or maybe email info@kidswhocode.co.za.
Tulani Matiani, a young man I think we haven't heard the last of. Thanks so much for joining us today, founder of Kids Who Code. I love the concept. I love the concept of taking it into children's own home where they're in a space they're comfortable in and so ready to learn. I love that it's only 200 rand to sponsor another child to receive that learning. And please, if you feel that is something you can do, reach out to Tulani via info@kidswhocode.co.za.